Was there anything unholy in what he said?
Not a bit. Not one bit.
No, not at all. You know what? Adults took it on one level. He then took it on another.
Yes, sir.
The kids took it on this.
Guarantee it.
Okay? That's a sign of God being in charge of a very delicate situation. Now, one of the biggest problems that the young men in this church have, and probably some of the ladies, is pornography. It's just everything. Just everything. Okay? You go buy a Hooters billboard, nobody notices the blink of check.
Right.
All right? The whole point is, you're looking at that stuff, and I have caught young men prior to marriage discussing, can't wait to get a wife to try some of this stuff out.
That's right. Shame.
There's preachers who tell them, well, the marriage bed's undefiled. Now, wait a second. In that Old Testament, when David came in, wanted that bread, that show bread, the priest said, have they been away from their wife? David said, yes, 3 days. Why? Because under the law, when a man was intimate with his wife, he could not approach to the house of God, he couldn't come unto God, he couldn't do it. In the New Testament, the marriage bed is undefiled. Okay? A man can be intimate with his wife, step out, go pray with God, walk right into that throne room of grace, it's undefiled. Not saying you can bring a goat and a whip and boots and all that kind of stuff, all that nonsense, all that horrible stuff that you've been looking at. It's not what it's talking about.
That's right.
Right.
Okay? That girl will be looking at you in 30 days and wondering, what did I marry? Sick. Sick. Okay? If you want to watch all that stuff, let me tell you this. Number one, when you finally get a wife, you'll disgust her.
Amen.
You will. You won't even try to. You will. It'll just naturally come out. Number two, psychiatrists now are having to deal with young men who aren't able even to satisfy a woman anymore. They watch so much pornography. But now that they get a girl that doesn't do what it's supposed to, they're broken. What an awful thing. And in this building, not out there, in this building, and some of you have taken steps towards manhood, you've come and talked about it. Okay? Some of you have taken steps towards manhood, you've come and gotten a man of God and talked about it. Okay? But in this building are some who need to make a covenant with their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why? For your own health.
Right.
Okay? Your own health. The health of your future marriage. There are only two groups of people demographically in the United States who the majority of them maintain a honeymoon relationship after 40 years of marriage. Demographically. You say, who is it? The Africans? Is it the Gypsies? Is it the Irish? No. One is the Amish. You know what? That man's not going onto the television looking at women with painted bodies and airbrushed and, you know, when God has given you grace and you've run 8 or 9 babies through your wife, they don't look the same. But you know what? If you have a natural affection and you've never looked anywhere else, she's fine to you. You know who the other group is? It's Orthodox Jews. Same thing. Right? Mama's been around 40 years, has to take her teeth out at night before she comes to bed. Fine, you know, puts the oil of old age on when she gets in, unscrews the leg, puts it over here, and, you know, makes an eyeball out or whatever else. And you know what? But the thing is, you love her. She's mama. The two of you have been together forever. That's what it ought to be, all right? Some of you are believing that. Some of you are laying the groundwork where you can't have that. Okay? Cut it off.
Amen.
Picture 35 years ago, I heard the priest that very same thing. It may not be in that album, but all the stuff you said in there, I've heard you say. Preacher, my wife and I didn't have the privilege of going. who came up the harbor. 35 years ago, we made a covenant with God. Do exactly what you just preached. Can I tell you the very thing he said, and both he said? After 45 years of marriage, my wife doesn't sit here right now, I've got a sick grandchild. But ask the other one what she sees every night, every morning in our home. She made mention of it last night. What seemed like all you and Grandma knew was this. Amen. She said, I don't ever get to see my other grandparents do that. Honey, it's because Papa loves Grammy like no other.
Yes, sir. Better believe it.
And God has done a work in our hearts. Some of y'all haven't met my son-in-law. I believe he's been here. The one that's in New Guinea. His son-in-law stood here Wednesday night.
Man of God.
And preached. When my son-in-law called me, he was in Michigan, we were in Pennsylvania, and he wanted to court my daughter, Christy, my oldest. And we began to pray, we began to set it all up, and begin to see the secret mind of God and put it all together. And they did a courtship like I've never seen before or since. Now my youngest daughter, she again did a courtship. Wicked was a real whirlwind. But so was Mark and Christy. I think they courted 4 months before they were married. Now they got married. Christy and Mark got married over here at First Baptist Church in Bradford. Because our building wasn't big enough to hold the crowd. And Dr. Don Green came. That was my son-in-law's pastor. One of my heroes. And Dr. Green and a man that I really admire and helped, and he's helped my family immensely, Brother Mike Keeney. They both came, they appreciated over the thing, worked together in the thing. But my daughter wore a white dress down the aisle. And my son-in-law, we were out buying tuxes pictures. And I'm looking at all these nice colors and all that, and he said, Dad, I don't want none of that. He already started calling me Dad. I said, what do you want, son? He said, I want a wife when I'm pure too.
Amen.
I said, you're entitled, son. Pick it out. Came up here for the very first time and held hands. When that pastor said, amen, who gave this woman her mother and I and all that, and I put her hand for the very first
time. Amen.
You can feel the sparks, man, all over that building. And when he peeled that veil back and kissed her for the very first time, my men, my ladies that were in my church erupted. My wife said, not despicable. I said, no, that's wonderful. For the very first time. When that young man you saw here went to my son-in-law and said, I believe God would have me to court your daughter for marriage. Had never even talked to her yet. Had seen her at a distance. Looked up at God and said, that's the one you're going to marry. And he did it exactly the same way my son-in-law had. Only my son-in-law was in New Guinea and Caleb came back here. So guess who that left to guard the courtship? Papa and Granny. Mom and Dad. He called me up. He said, Dad, I need you to do me a favor. I've got a young man that wants to court Tabitha, and I want you to watch over it for me. I said, son, I'd be honored. He said, Dad, I don't want you just to watch over it. I want you to put him through the same thing you put me through. I said, check, got it, son. I
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you can't Lord. Get any yes, better sir. Than that.
Exactly right.
Man, I hug my wife every morning, every night, every time during the day I get a chance. Amen.
I believe it. Yes, sir.
And I'm thrilled to say that every time I do, sparks fly. Amen. The spark is still there, brother. Some folks would look at that and go, oh, that old man, he's just being there. He should have talked about that. Somebody's got to.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, parents. If you don't talk to your kids about it, the world will.
Sure will. Corrupt them. Amen. That's right.
I had the world before I ever heard the godly side of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I thank God that a man of God.
Yes, thank you.
There's very few men who stand in the pulpit and approach the subject.
Just like that.
And do it in a way that can reach everybody without embarrassing somebody.
That's right. Perfect. Yes, sir.
Well done.
Well done. Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
That name's one of them, and I know one other personally. If I tried to do what he just did, man, it could be a mess. There's all the years with his first wife who died, and then the second wife all rolled into one right there. And the wisdom of years and the grace of God.
Boy, you ain't kidding.
What you just got here, you can't get at any sports fair.
That's right.
There's nothing like it.
Nothing, brother. Priceless.
Brother, I'm 35 years of students. What you do.
Amen. Like it.
Keep preaching.
That's right.
Folks need it.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell you the number of people that I've counseled over the years, and these other pastors could attest to it, and preachers, man, the people whose lives are just a wreck. Their marriage is just, I mean, the most miserable thing on earth, man. You do it your way, and you're it your way.
You're so right.
But you do it God's way. And you'll reap the benefits.
Guarantee it. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm an old man now. And for a lifetime, I've reaped what that man sowed in me.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm sure glad he did.
Yes.
Without it, I don't know where I'd be. And I'm here to tell you, temptations abound. Look, man. The hair's white, but that doesn't mean everything under it's dead. And this world, your flesh, and the devil are out to destroy you no matter who you are, no matter how old you get, brother Dan. You need that foundation in your marriage.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but preacher, it's too late. I'm already married, and I've already made a mess. Man, I think I read somewhere the blood of Jesus
Christ, his son.
Yes, sir. You better believe that.
He can straighten it all out.
Yes, sir.
He can get it all. Thank you,
Jesus.
My wife and I, as I said, did not come up in a Christian home.
That's right.
We were first generation Christians, both of us. We had to get it from God.
Yes, sir.
After we'd already messed it up.
Guarantee it.
He's put it back together so wonderful, you just can't get a picture of it. As they used to say down in Carolina where I got saved, some things is better felt than tell. I can tell you from experience, amen, what he just preached.
Perfect. Yes, sir. Right on.
Spot on. It'll help you. Works.
Yes, sir, it does.
Like no other.
Yes.
When my wife and I first started down that path, like I said, we were saved for a few years. Let me just tell you, this fella's my mother-in-law went to start breathing nuts. All of a sudden, I was a bit tired. I was a nut. I was a coot. My precious wife spoke up and said, Mom, I'm with him all the way.
Oh, amen.
We are.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We are to live like this. So you either get used to it or say goodbye.
Yep.
So that was a shock of reality. And you know what happens now in the family? When we walk in, we're well accepted. And many of the folks sitting around the table are saved. And things have changed drastically. Because of what the preaching you're hearing this week, but because of what we just preached in our lives.
Yeah, amen, brother. Good.
Listen, I had nieces who were lost. We're now saved, married Christian husbands, living for God. I had nieces who wanted to come and live with me because their own father left them. And they saw the love and they saw the light that was in our home. They wanted it so bad. For a while I raised two of my nieces just so they could get used to how it's supposed to be.
And I like it.
I see their family, Brother Lou, and I just want to merge it. Because they saw how it was. In fact, one of these still calls me Dad. And I oversaw her courtship with her husband, whom she won to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. It's a wonderful journey, folks. Do it God's way, all the way. You will have, I can tell you, 40 years, you will have no regrets. None. I did this as a young Christian. I just figured, man, that God had the answer to why. I figured he'd been at it a lot longer than me. I mean, I'm a hillbilly. I was slow. I was a little dumb. I figured God had been at it a lot longer than me. I'm just going to do what he says. If you'll just do what he says in every area of your life, and in particular in that area, God will put you together like these. I mean,
amen.
It's such a wonderful journey. It can't be described all the way. You just can't. There aren't adjectives enough. It's like God, man. Give me enough adjectives to describe God. If you put all languages together, there isn't enough. That's how wonderful it is. Amen. Preacher, the bottom of my heart.
Real, folks, it's real.
Yes, sir.
Like, by the way, Brother Cliff, had a lady tell me this. She said, I prayed specifically this week that Brother Williams would come in and preach a message like that.
Hallelujah.
You're taking offering tonight. Now listen, I can't argue about how my church gives. My church just gives unbelievable. These folks come over here from Anchor Baptist Church in Wellsville, they throw money in this team, okay? They do. I can't argue how we can give in this church. I've never had a giving problem in this church. It's been an unbelievable grace from God. Now, I budget. I don't have a big salary, okay? Realize I make $350 a week. One car repair and we're shot. It's all we're just done. We have nothing, okay? But I have that secretary take $40 out every single week for youth week. All right? Every single week, you take $40 out for youth week. You budget it. My children, folks here, they just can't wait. We take money for youth week. We put it together. We get texts from the girls down there in Blaine, the black girls. We get texts. 180 days till youth week, you know. They're just so excited. They just can't wait to come for it. And people just pour the money into it and such. Now listen, I'm going to talk to people that I don't have any grudge with about what you give. I don't have any doubt that people here's consciences are absolutely right on your giving. But the man of God sitting over there has had a ministry robbed from him by the government, and this is going to be more and more common. Okay? More and more common. Government tried to shut this thing down. Okay? More and more common. His last prayer letter said this. They're going to use that campus. They have another ministry. They're not talking about it yet, but they're raising money. If you trust his walk with God, I'm not saying trust him. Trust his God, his walk with God. Bring some money tonight to put into that offering or whatever it is. That him, God, the other men he's working with are cooking. All right?
Amen.
Go ahead and do that. We'll take that offering.
Yes, sir.
And tomorrow, I'll take more money for us.
Preacher.
Preacher.
We're going to do that better.
Other way around? I didn't know. Okay, no.
You talked when you said that some people are working to get themselves.
All right, that's fine. That, he and I discussed this, and I get all mixed up. We'll take his money tomorrow night. Why? Because people get the checks. That's what I do.
We'll have more money in there.
All right, we'll take the man. All right, we'll give him the quick ones. All right.
Because number one, we don't need a lot to finish out the meeting. But we're going to take up an offering tonight for the meeting, okay? And then tomorrow night, we're going to take up an offering for Brother Williams and others. And the property and all that's going to be going on there, and the ministry there. And so to help him out, amen.